investment works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The final hour of the Paracast with Paul Bannister joining us. The book is Tabloid Man, Some Fabulous Experiences Working for the National Enquirer, and the fact that it had a higher set of standards than maybe people suspected at the time. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris, maybe we should move into some of the questions before we go on.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Gene. And we do have some good ones, Paul. Let me just start. I'm not going to throw them at you in any particular order, but here's one from ExoDoc, who is a longtime poster on our forum, and he's got three questions. The first is there a conspiracy of ridicule in the media concerning not just UFOs, but ghosts, psychic phenomenon, and other unusual things that make people feel insecure? Or is that just the way the news system works?
That's a good question. I think people tend to be afraid of what they don't understand. We found one of the reasons that there's so many Brits on the Enquirer was, as I say, it was competition. But the other thing was that American journalists were leery of joining up because they were very conscious of their reputation. They wanted to be, you know, the dignified senior statesman. And so Brits tended to be a bit more rough and tumble with, you know, fighting for stories. And so what sort of happened was, if it wasn't a respectable thing, then the American journalists, by and large, didn't want to know. They looked down on the Enquirer, on the tabloids generally, as people who'd sold out. You know, one of my colleagues there, Ray Smith, he told one of his Canadian pals, he said, if you see my mom when you go back up to Toronto, he said, don't tell her I'm on the Enquirer. She thinks I'm playing piano in a whorehouse. Now, we used to get this from other, you know, from the national, you know, from the big, the mainstream media. They felt that they were superior. The fact is, they weren't. You know, I worked on national newspapers in Britain. I worked for the BBC. I would take on any reporter from any newspaper in America and give them a good run. Because I work for the Enquirer doesn't mean I'm no good as a journalist. I'm a good journalist, as it happens. And Pope paid us about three times what we would get on a major newspaper in the States. And that rankled. People go, well, you're just making up stories. Absolute rubbish. We didn't make up stories. We didn't lose libel actions. I agree that we didn't present stories all the time. And we said, well, these are the two sides of it. Because that wasn't the way the paper was run. Pope said, we're not going to confuse the reader with arguments. Stories are black and white. Well, in the real world, stories are not black and white. They're gray. And that's really what it gets down to. So conspiracy and ridicule, I think it's just that that the mainstream media is afraid to deal with it. They don't know how to pigeonhole it. The Enquirer wasn't afraid of it. And people being people, people talk about interesting things. You know, I wouldn't be discussing, you know, pork belly future prices, over a glass of wine, but I certainly would talk about ghosts.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you've kind of answered question number two, which was, how have you been treated by other mainstream reporters and journalists? I think you answered that question. The third question is a good one, too. Is unbiased news dead? By that I mean, is there any source of news anymore that isn't trying to sway us politically to the media mogul's way of thinking, or has it always been this way?
I'm an old guy, and I've been around newspapers on two continents for a long time, and I've never ever, apart from, you know, obvious ones with the Enquirer, when they say, well, go and get this story, you know, get the story of how psychic functioning can improve your quality of life, I've never ever been given direction on a news story.
That's good. That's a good thing.
It's true. Now, obviously, if I were working for, you know, a very conservative newspaper, I'd probably not be out there advocating gay marriage or something, you know, because you have an idea what the tone of the paper is, and that's the tone of that paper is what attracts that paper's readers, that niche market. Yeah.
So basically, in general, newspapers are never 100% fair and balanced. There's always some kind of slant.
That's probably true. They know what their market is, and they tend to pander to that. I mean, Fox News knows where its market is, and I regard its reporting with a lot of suspicion. But some of it, some of what people see as an outright conspiracy in the media is just either laziness or lack of funds or lack of skill. They'll pick – what was that story just a week or so ago about a dozen bodies in Texas? And it was run off a rumor. Some woman said, I'm a psychic. I see all these bodies. She knew enough about the interior of the house to inspire the police to go and look. Without checking it, some major media ran the story.
Right. Yeah, that's what gives this whole field a bad name.
Well, yeah, it does.
It's shoddy journalism.
It's shoddy, and a lot of it is economics nowadays. You know, people are eager to try and get that. And it's also, something you referred to earlier, actually, Gene, you said, now I get news of events, you know, around the world minutes after it happens. That means that the media are also pressed to be urgent with their material. They can't wait a day or two to check it. They don't want to take the risk that somebody else is going to beat them to the punch. And so if they don't have the means to check it, they might be tempted to run with it.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And it also answers the next question I had from Sentry, who's one of our more recent forum members. He said, Chris, ask Paul about how a single event can generate vastly varying stories due to the bias of the reporters, the editorial policies of the publisher, and sometimes the peculiar nature of the subject's personality. One aspect of this reporting of a story is to package it to sell it to an audience, but there can be many other things in play, and I think you've just hit that. You've just answered that question perfectly.
There's one more thing to add to that. If you take six people who witness an automobile accident, you'll get six different accounts of it.
Right. Well, they say eyewitness testimony is oftentimes the least reliable.
With the best will in the world, people are people, and they don't recall accurately what they've seen. That's just a given. And I don't believe that it might, you know, some young moon's, you know, moony newspaper there, that might well have been just a propaganda sheet. But I don't believe by and large, you know, that the respectable papers, the reputable papers are out there delivering a political message in their news stories. They've got their editorial pages to do that.
Right. One thing I worry about, of course, is this. If we can't figure out what happened last week, how do we rely on stories 100, 200 years ago? Our history books, how do we determine that's accurate if we can't figure out what happened yesterday in the next city?
Good question.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you've just gone to the – this is not a commercial plug, but you've just gone to the heart of something I'm writing. I said I'm writing this third century novel that's based on some true things. There were for 600 years – there was no history, no written history in Britain at that time, from the 3rd to about the 8th century. There was nothing written down. And a fellow called Geoffrey of Monmouth, 400 years after that, started to write down his so-called history, which is absolute total bull. He made it sort of like a lurid novel of the day, so we get all this... In Geoffrey Monmouth's stuff, we're getting Arthurian history, you know, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and they never existed as such. There might have been a primitive kingdom, but that's because nothing was written down. It was not accurate at the time, and people made it up later, and that's human nature, I'm afraid.
Well, what about, of course, oral history? And this is something that Chris and I have talked about. We've had guests here. We had one, an Indian elder for a tribe.
Yeah.
The Zuni tribe, and they, of course, transfer their historical information verbally from father to son, whatever.
Word for word.
How can they do it and we can't do it? You know, it seems like they have abilities that we don't have.
Yeah, but you say it's word for word, but how can you check that? You know the old story there about the troops in the trenches, and they pass the word down, send for reinforcements, we're going to advance. And by the time it gets to the other end of the line, it says, send for three informants, we're going to a dance.
We're going to dance around this. We have Paul Bannister. The book is called Tabloid Man. I'm Gene Steinberg, the co-host.
You're in the Paracast.
I didn't say it yet. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, fate has provided true reports the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back with Paul Panister. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. On the Paracast, so the question I raise, of course, is, as you say, from person to person, from ear to ear. Steve Allen used to do this kind of thing, where he'd tell a joke. They'd have 10 people on stage, and each person would relate the joke to the next person. And by the time they heard the 10th person, the joke had no resemblance whatever to the original. It may not have even been a joke. So I raise that question again. Chris, maybe you can answer. How can the Zuni elders transfer that oral tradition if we can't figure out how to tell a joke and have it spread through 10 people accurately?
That's a really good point. I think we do have some models cross-culturally that that do indicate that there is a way to do it accurately in a sacred ceremonial sense. In other words, if you put the fear of the gods or the goddess or creator into the process, people tend to be a little bit more diligent about how accurate they are. That's one possible answer. The other possible answer is you can't. So, you know, that's really important. That's why having Paul on the show, talking about journalism, talking about how we relate important stories, especially in our realm, the paranormal, UFOs, these types of things that are still mysteries to the modern age, how we relate these instances, occurrences, reports, events to each other is crucial, because what we're doing is we're slowly creating, you know, modern mythos. And I think Jacques Vallée, that's one of the things that I most admire about the man, is he really pegged that early on in this particular realm of the paranormal and UFOs. He pegged it perfectly. It's not so much the event and the person experiencing it, it's how that thing filters, how that event and that experience filters into the culture. And this is really important territory, and it's a really good subject to explore further with Paul. Paul, you've been in the driver's seat in the paranormal for the Enquirer, you've 7 years. You know, how do you reconcile that? I mean, I know you're a good journalist and a good reporter, and you were made every effort that you could to be as accurate as possible, but you're giving a story to, you know, people that are rewriting the story at the Enquirer. How accurate were they when they got your information?
Oh, actually, with my information, they're usually pretty good. I was in a happy situation in many ways with the Enquirer, because the stories I was doing were not, by and large, not celebrity stories. They were stories about the paranormal. I do adventure stories, crime stories, and so on. And the headlines for them, the lead sheet, the idea of the story wrote itself before I started to go on it. If it was amazing ghost attacks on a house, you see, then I'd go and I'd find out what it was. It didn't need to be pre-cast. But if, you know, they were writing a story about, you know, Doris Day's last days, they've had probably 8 or 9 of those in the tabloids.
A lot of fact checkers.
She keeps dying, you know. They say, look, you know, it's Doris's last days. Let's you know, investigate her terrible, tragic story. Then somebody's left saddled with the responsibility of making them into her last days, even if they're not. For me, it's a ghost story. I go and get a ghost story and come back with it, and it's what's there. That's really what, and get somebody to say it's real. That's the other thing. Saying what's real. Earlier on, we said if you've seen something, it's much more convincing to you because you've seen it yourself and you trust your own eyes. Somebody else reports it, it's not too convincing. Here's a thing that really happened to me. And I can't explain it, but maybe you can. I was down in Sao Paulo. I was doing some stories down there in Brazil. And I heard about a nearby town called Mogi das Cruzes, where a family had been under some kind of demonic attack. I don't speak any Portuguese, and so I had an interpreter with me. And we went along, and we interviewed the police chief. He said he'd been to this house, and he believed that somebody had hired a witch doctor, a macumbera, to put a hex on the family. And he'd been to the house when a bare plaster wall seemed to be burning up in flames. And he realized there's no heat. He put a banknote in among the flames, and it didn't burn it, and there's no heat on his hand. This is the police chief. I mean, a man just dripping with weaponry and badges and things, and, you know, I totally believed him. So I go along, and the family rented another macumbera to take the hex off, and it seemed to have worked after a day or two. But the first day I was there, I'm standing about 5 or 6 feet from this green plastic sofa, and the back split open in three parallel lines as if somebody clawed it open. It was right next to me. I mean, just 4 feet away. Nobody was between me and it. I certainly didn't do it, and there was no way to do it. I was kind of impressed. Anyway, things were going on there. Then it stopped when they brought in this other witch doctor. So the interpreter said to me, look, we should interview the witch doctor who took the hex off. And I said, well, that's not going to add any credibility to my story. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. Let's get out of here. I want a scientist to say it's really happened, not some guy with bones and feathers in him, you know. And the next part of the story just runs on. How are we doing before we go to a break on this? Because I've got another couple of minutes worth.
Okay, right now we have about 2 minutes.
Okay, good. So that night I had my dinner in Sao Paulo. I'm having a chicken pot pie, and I crunch on something. It's a piece of glass, like a cube of glass that come out of a windshield. So I call a maitre d' over. I said, I'm indignant. He said, we didn't make it on the premises. I'm terribly sorry. Dinner's on us. The next night I'm in Rio. I'm coming to fly home to – I'm overnighting in Rio. Go in the hotel bar. I have a mixed drink. Piece of glass in among the ice. The glass isn't chipped. Barman shows me this rubber thing that clean it with. It couldn't have done it. Sorry about that. Free drinks. Buff it up. I go home. I'm back in South Florida the next night. And I went to the fridge. I did something unusual. I opened a can of Coke. Don't know if we drink Coke. The kids had left it. And I poured it into a glass. And there's a tinkle. And there's a cube of glass in there. Three nights, 24-hour cycle, three cubes of glass.
And two continents.
And I said, I don't know what this is, but I guess that witch doctor sent me a message. He didn't frighten me. He didn't hurt me. But I guess he sent me a message and said, be respectful. That's the only explanation I've got for that. No other explanation. And that happened.
It sounds like you picked up a programmed hitchhiker.
No, I've never been bothered since. I think he just said, I'm going to send this guy a message, three bits of glass.
What'd your wife think of that?
Out of a sealed can of Coke. I can't believe that.
Did your wife make you go outside and re-wipe your shoes before you came in? Or did she try to smudge you with some sage? Or we're gonna shift gears here. I'm sure you're going to love this question. This comes from Pong, who's a longtime poster on our forum. Mr. Bannister, please tell us some naughty things about the British royal family, things we aren't supposed to know. Do the royals attend the Bilderberg meetings? And the darkest question of all, was Princess Diana murdered? If so, by whom and for what reason?
Well, let's deal with the last bit of it first.
And also, we have about 30 seconds left for the segment, so start the answer. We'll pick it up on the next one.
Okay. Well, Di being murdered, there's a lot of thought about that in Britain, and nobody's yet resolved it. Nobody's proved anything. The only thing that's known is that she certainly is dead. There's a lot of politics about that and about her, the possibility that she was pregnant with an heir to the throne.
We'll get into more of that in a moment. Paul Bannister joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bail, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful complex crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Paul Bannister for two more segments. The book is Tabloid Man. You can get a copy on his site if you click on his name, Paul Bannister, on our site, thepowercast.com. You'll go right to his place where you can place your order, get the e-book, printed book, whatever you like. And we posed a question, or Chris did, courtesy of one of our forum members, about Princess Diana, about the rumors about her death, a conspiracy, whatever. And you mentioned that it was thought she might be pregnant. Of course, they could have determined that with an autopsy, but we kind of think that information would be kept secret, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's remarkable to know what governments can keep secret and what is politic to know and what isn't politic to know. But I think the royals would not have been happy to have had an Arab grandson, and that would have been the case if she were pregnant. I think they would not have been happy, even if she were not pregnant, if she'd gone ahead and married Al-Fayed. They would not have wanted the one-time wife of the heir to the throne to be married to a look how traditional they were about choosing her. She had to be white. She had to have an aristocratic background. She had to be a virgin. It was just ludicrous. It's so medieval, it's not true. And to have her marrying somebody else later would not have fitted, somebody unsuitable would not have fitted with the royals' idea of propriety. So there's a lot of thought still that she was hounded down. I mean, Henri Paul, you know, was certainly had been drinking. He wasn't supposed to be the driver. did the British Secret Service, you know, insert him? Were they looking for the chance? Was it choreographed? A lot of people believe it was. And I don't think we'll ever really know, not until the 50-year rule's up and relevant official secrets.
Well, are the royals up to no good, or are they just
no,
relics?
No, not by themselves. No, they're just leeches on the public purse. You know, there's a handful of them that do a good job, but the clan is so huge. And here's Prince Charles, you know, rabbiting on about leaving a tiny carbon footprint, and he's flying around the world with a staff of 26 to do it. He's got 6 or 7 palaces, and he's preaching to the rest of the world to make do with less. I mean, absolute stupid hypocrite. Even though he did once share a sardine with me.
Tell us about him.
Well,
sardine, not a herring or a mackerel, a sardine.
It was a
huh?
sardine and a strip of toast the size of your little finger. I was sent to, as the Royal Rota reporter, when the royals go somewhere, they don't always have an entourage of reporters if it's a difficult place to get to. And he was going to an oil rig in the North Sea. So my paper sent me to report for all the newspapers. You see, instead of shipping out 25 reporters, they sent out one idiot.
So you were embedded.
I think they hoped the helicopter would crash while I was out there. So anyway, I went out there, and he flew in his helicopter, and I did his thing. I knocked out a story. I called it in, and it was early afternoon. I was starving hungry, and I ran up to the wardroom where he was standing with these BP directors, and there was a steward going around, you know, handing out plates of canapes and things. And so I shove into the circle next to HRH, and I see that the steward had put this plate down on the table behind us, and it had one strip of toast with a sardine on it. So I shift my glass to my other hand and put my hand back there to get it. As I'm stealthily removing it, it tugged back at me. And I look, and Prince Charles is on the other end of it. He's doing the same thing, you know. So I let go at once. I thought, well, you know, if I don't let go, I might end up beheaded or in the Tower of London or something. And he says, no, old boy. He said, we'll share it. He tore this sardine and bit of toast into two, and we each ate a half. And I'm sure those BP directors, they just wanted to throw me off the oil rig right there and then and leave me offshore.
That's
one of my touches with royalty, shared a sardine. Well, after all, he is the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, right. So at least they could have had some blubber on board or something. I mean,
yeah,
come
right.
on.
It's a funny story.
Well, here's actually a very good question, and I'm going to combine actually two posters questions into one. And basically, Ufology, who is a member for a year, and Century, who is a new member, are wondering if there's any way that we can differentiate from the mainstream media what is baloney and what is real. And Century says, I'm guessing that how we would do that starts with anonymous or unnamed sources. Give us some inside kind of scoop on how we can look at a normal mainstream news story and determine whether it's been tabloidized or whether we're looking at something that's totally accurate. Is there any way to differentiate between the two?
On the face of it, you say it's difficult, but first of all, you apply your own common sense. I mean, whatever the story is, you know, if the story is, you know, a Weekly World News story that, you know, that Hillary Clinton's pregnant by a space alien, it's probably
or is going to have Bigfoot that. as a running mate.
Yeah.
I think it was an Enquirer headline.
Yeah. The actually, one of the things quickly to say is that the Enquirer never carried those stories. The Weekly World News did. That was a college paper that was, you know, it was a paper aimed at college students. And they ran, you know, Bat Boy and all those made-up stories. A staff of about 3 people invented those and did a wonderful job, Very funny. It was an early version of The Onion, you know.
The Onion, yeah.
But what's baloney and what's real? Well, often you have to run an unnamed source because it's somebody who's a tipster, who's telling, or a whistleblower perhaps, who's telling you something that his boss doesn't want known. And your editor knows if it's real. And, you know, you've got to name that source to your own organization. But, of course, you can't print the name. partly because A, you'd burn him, and B, you'd never get anything from him again. So I guess it's really down to your own common sense. Is this something that a government agency would not want known? For what reason? If it's something that you'd say, well, I can't see why they wouldn't want that known, so why can't they name the guy? Then you've got to look at it with some suspicion. But by and large, the reputable newspapers, you know, we're talking the LA Times, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, whatever, CNN, they're not going to carry an unnamed source without good reason. I think, you know, you can still trust those people well enough. I mean, some people are going to say, well, I don't trust that paper because it's got the opposite political view to mine. But it still is not in the paper's interest in the long term.
Right. There's standards of journalism that you have to adhere to.
Yeah, you can't invent. But too many people can become an instant reporter on the internet now. And we all get those spam things, you know, the stupid little stories about, you know, how it's raining cats and dogs because in the Middle Ages people put the cats in the thatch of the roof, you know, and, oh, give me a break. You know that these things are just made up by some 15-year-old somewhere who wants to cause confusion.
Got to worry about them 15-year-olds, right?
Well, yeah. They should probably get that 15-year-old to be the script writer for your, you know, new reality show that's coming out next week.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And actually, you know, you see these reality shows, I can tell you some about those because I did work on things like Survivor. They're scripted. They're scripted and edited like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Those
Mark
people
Burnett.
Are given roles to play. Yeah, yeah. But they're given a role to play. You're going to be a hero. You're going to be the vamp. You're going to be a slut.
It's all like wrestling. It's all like professional wrestling.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah, and it's interesting that some professional wrestlers come out to be pretty decent actors, like The Rock. Oh, I think The Rock is a perfectly presentable, charismatic actor.
We're a fairly decent politician. We had, of course, Jesse Ventura on the show, and
we were
quite impressed with his very down-to-earth and very objective, sober view of conspiracy theories, which is
right.
something he's very interested in.
Yeah. And he's been in a position to see some of those inside materials that don't get exposed publicly. You've got to remember that the public, that's me and you, we don't get to see what the policymakers are actually seeing to help.
We're seeing the spin, but right now we're going to talk about this. You're listening to Paul Bannister on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, and always and forever you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, it completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. Air and Aqua.com. Purify your life today.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
This is our final segment with Paul Bannister. The book is Tabloid Man, talking about conspiracy theories, the supernatural, the UFOs, entertainment figures, his experiences working with the National Enquirer. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris, are there any more questions left unanswered?
There aren't, but I have one for you, Paul. Let's say I'm a Paracast listener out there. I've got some talent. I'm, you know, got away with words. I'm a wordsmith. I want to get involved in journalism. Would you encourage me? Would you tell me to, like, start my own blog? What sort of advice do you have to up-and-coming writers with talent that want to get involved in the paranormal subjects that we discuss here on this show? How would you advise them to get involved and gain some legitimacy and hone their craft? I mean, what advice do you have for us?
Well, you just said it right there, didn't you? You said blog. You said that word. And that's probably the way it's going. Print journalism is dying. It's dying on its feet. It's dying because people are not buying print. And the matrix, the paradigm here is that is not the New York Times, for instance, sold its building and leased a couple of floors back so they can continue to work there. The San Francisco Chronicle is losing $1 million a week, apparently. The LA Times, all the print, the major print outlets are in difficulty, and it's for a reason. And if you go and look at the, on the magazine shelves, you'll see masses and masses of magazines, and they're subspecialty magazines. It's not just guns and ammo. Now it's down to small handguns with pearl handles, you know, and they're probably run by a staff of three people. I mean, I know of magazines in London where the same crew have worked on probably five magazines in as many years. They start one up, it runs for a few months, the novelty sustains it, circulation starts to fail, they fold it, they think of a new title, and they start another one up.
You know, parenthetically here, Paul, in this country we used to have a lot of these small publishers of newsstand magazines, and the way they survive would be the advance. They get an advance from the distributor. You get so much based on the potential sales and a proportion of the book, as they called it.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, they would put out as many books as possible to get all those advances. And then, of course, if some didn't earn out their advance, right, they cut them out and bring out others. Now, of course, you can't do that.
No. But now you do have the ability to self-publish, or you've got the web. You can start blogs on the web. I run a blog on Bannister Books, and it's nothing to do with the book. It's just there to attract people. I'm running old stories. I'm running a weekly epistle, St. Paul's epistle, which I send to my friends, but I started to publish it, you see. This actually is a lazy man's way of doing it, Gene. I get my friends to write back, and then I just cut and paste their material, stick it in, and put a bit of my own, a bit of spin of my own.
Yeah, take notes, listeners. Take notes.
Yeah, and it works. People like the blog. They read the blog. So I would guess this is the time of night and fog in newspapers and magazines. They don't know where they're going, and they don't know what obstacles are in the way. But the internet's here to stay. So if you're a successful blogger and you have an interest in a particular field, say you might be an outdoorsman or something like that, and you might say, well, I'm going to run a blog about outdoors in the Michigan Peninsula, you know, and build a readership that way.
Right. So find a target market and really go for it.
Mm-hmm. Exploit what you know. Do what you know and do what you like to do, because that way you'll keep doing it.
And it'll come across fresh and exciting, and people will respond to it and resonate with it.
The authentic shows up. People know what's fake. They really do. Which is what I'm saying. You can tell whether a story is real, even if there is an unnamed source in it. You can usually have a good sense of what it is. If it's too good to be true, you know what the truism is.
Well, I think sage words of advice, and for all you aspiring investigative journalists out there, especially in the realm of the paranormal, create a new way to do it. I think we're right at a point now. We're at the quincunx, I think would be the word, of how journalism and how writing is going to shift from the old paradigm of print media into this wonderful, wild, wacky world of the internet and the blogosphere. And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of impact, especially in the political realm of the blogs. I think a lot of politicians are running scared right now when it comes to having to deal with some of the more vocal bloggers out there. How do you wade through
well,
an
you
idea
know,
like
the one? Yeah, while you were talking, the thought just occurred to me. There's a perfect example to answer this question. There's a fellow called Nick Redfern. He's an author. He's written. He's a Brit, actually.
Yeah, but he's a friend of ours. He's actually our guest co-host when Chris isn't available. I have
fabulous.
Nick, so he's on several times a year.
Excellent. So he's a perfect example. He's a man who's written. He's found an area, he writes well about it, he blogs about it, and he's created his own newspaper, as it were. Now, what Nick also does is he links it to things like The Anomalist, which is a wonderful, you know The Anomalist, because it's a wonderful daily source.
It's one of the first things I read every morning.
And as you say, they're getting notice of events, paranormal events around the world within minutes. These are two outlets who've harnessed the internet. And successfully done it, too.
In a discriminating
manner.
I find
that really impressive. They've evolved.
You don't see anything on The Anomalist that isn't worth going and checking out. I have never gone to a story that they linked to that interested me that I was let down by.
I find
Pat really does a good job that way.
And you see across a spectrum of stories as well. They don't carry stories, they carry links. And
exactly.
I think it's a wonderful, but it's an example of how journalism's evolved and has to evolve. It has to go that way. You know, it's not the smartest or the strongest. It's the one who changes quickest who survives.
Right. You know? Well, I'm just waiting for Kindle to come out with a little sensor that as soon as you electronically turn a page, it puffs out a little bit of smell of newsprint.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about that for TV now, aren't they? That's the they're talking about putting smells onto advanced television so that when you're watching, you know, a jungle movie, you're going to get all the right smells.
Smell-o-vision, that.
Yeah, and John Waters, scratch and sniff, baby.
That's it.
Of course, right now they're trying to sell 3D TVs, and they're not doing well.
No.
Who wants to see 3D? You've got to wear the glasses, and the glasses can cost $150 for some of these glasses, for some of these sets. They have what they call passive and active. Passive is what you get free from the movie Tripleplex, you know, multiplex, whatever.
Yeah.
And active has electronic circuitry. Has to be battery powered. It's a mess.
Well, the smell-o-vision is going to work because my dog's always doing scratch and sniff.
We don't want to know where that nose has been.
Yeah, I don't see him wearing 3D specs.
Yeah, why do they do that, Paul? Because they can.
They can, yes. And a milk truck backed over him while he was lying in the driveway. Dear me. That's the way your journalism's going, isn't it? The Normalist and Nick Redfern.
Get ready for the brave new world of total electronic journalism and media.
Electronic only or video or something like that. Okay, Paul Bannister, tell us where we can find more of the stuff that you write about.
Well, the motherload, of course, is bannisterbooks.com. And my book, Tabloid Man and the Battling Chair of Death, is on Amazon as a Kindle, and that's worldwide. That's US, UK, Australia, Germany, so on. It's available in print in the UK, and it'll be a couple more weeks before it's available in print in the US. But if you go to bannisterbooks.com, the updates are there. You can see it. You can actually read a sample. You can read the blog. And, oh, yeah, do go and listen to the voice of the ghost. There's a story there we didn't touch on, but it's explained on the homepage of the site, bannisterbooks.com. And you can hear a ghost that's intelligent. It corrects what I say and gives accurate information. Absolutely genuine, and just gives me chills to think about it.
Smart ghosts. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
OurStrangePlanet.com, and I lurk about the forum at theparacast.com.
Right, that's forum.theparacast.com. Join up, participate. Paul Bannister, thank you so much for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Gentlemen, the Queen sends her regards to you, and I do too. I enjoy the show enormously. Thank you so much.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand.